Good morning. This is 88.3 WLIW FM Local News. I'm Michael Mackey. Suffolk Deputy Police Commissioner Anthony Carter has decided against becoming Southampton Village's next police chief, officials said yesterday, just over a month after the board voted 4-1 to give him the job. John Valenti reports on Newsday.com that the low no vote at the December 12th special meeting came from Mayor Jesse Warren, whose lack of support spurred Carter to change his mind, according to a statement Monday on behalf of Southampton Village Deputy Mayor Gina Aresta and trustees Robin Brown, Bill Manger, and Roy Stevenson. Aresta tells Newsday that Carter notified trustees of his decision late Friday. Despite Warren's opposition, the mayor had initially said he'd support him, Aresta said. Quote, but in the days afterward, he was not communicating with Carter, and then publicly, he's been critical, and it's very embarrassing what's happened. As trustee and deputy mayor, I believe we were doing the best we can, and that Mr. Carter was the best choice. He's been here getting to know people on his own time, and the Southampton Village Police have been in full support of him. They've gotten to know him. It's really a shame he won't be taking over. End quote. Lieutenant Suzanne Herteau will continue as acting chief of police in Southampton Village, Aresta said. Carter's hire as chief was set to become effective March 13th, contingent on passing the civil service test. He had been offered a five-year contract worth $225,000 annually, town officials said. Carter had been tapped for the job more than a year after the retirement of former Chief Thomas Cummings, who agreed to retire in September 2021 with a payout of nearly $775,000. Brendan J. O'Reilly reports on 27East.com that Village Board members Gina Aresta, Roy Stevenson, Robin Brown, and Bill Manger announced Carter's decision in a press release yesterday that laid the blame for Carter's withdrawal at the feet of Mayor Jesse Warren, who cast the sole vote against appointing Carter and has been outspoken in his disagreement with his fellow board members. Carter is currently a deputy police commissioner for Suffolk County, part of a 29-year career in law enforcement that has also included serving as a police inspector in the New York City Police Department. The Southampton Village Board voted 4-1 during a special meeting in December to appoint Carter to the post beginning in March. In a Southampton Press interview, Carter Monday afternoon said that turning down the position was a disappointment, and working alongside the Southampton Village officers would have been a dream job for him. Quote, I'm grateful for the support of the trustees, the village administrator, and the community, and especially the men and women of the Southampton Village Police Department. Carter said that after consultation with his family, they came to the decision that at this juncture in his career, it was not the right time. Odd even day restrictions on lawn watering will be mandatory this year if a proposed local law is adopted by the Riverhead Town Board. Alec Lewis reports on riverheadlocal.com that aiming to conserve water during times of peak demand, the Riverhead Water District is looking to impose restrictions based on street address numbers. Locations with odd-numbered addresses would be allowed to water lawns, wash cars, and fill pools only on odd-numbered days, while locations with even-numbered addresses would be allowed to do so only on even-numbered days. Irrigation of common areas in residential communities would be allowed only every other day, with no watering at all permitted between 5 and 9 a.m. The restrictions would be in place in the town of Riverhead from April 15th through September 15th each year, and users would be subject to penalties if they are found in violation. The Riverhead Town Board, which is the governing body of the Riverhead Water District, is expected to set a February 7th public hearing on the proposal. A vote to schedule the public hearing is on the board's agenda for its meeting tomorrow. As Long Island faces difficult economic headwinds spurred by inflation and other factors, nonprofit organizations say they must guard against giving fatigue as they look to finance their programs at a time of surging demand for help. Olivia Winslow reports on Newsday.com that at a time of rising inflation and the accompanying uncertainty, at least one local financial manager predicted a challenging economic climate for nonprofits this year. Several nonprofit executives said they are redoubling their efforts to pursue multiple funding streams. Charitable giving has remained essentially flat. What people give as a percentage of their income has not budged in decades, according to an expert. As news was announced last Thursday about a proposed multi-billion dollar casino plan at the site of Nassau Coliseum and its surrounding property, a member of the Shinnecock Indian Nation, which had once worked toward developing a casino on the parcel, spoke out about dreams derailed. "It's really frustrating to me," said Lance Gumbs, tribal ambassador, vice president for the National Congress of American Indian for the Northeast region. "We put in a lot of legwork, time, effort, and funds to move our gaming out of the Hamptons because our neighbors don't want it out here. The Nassau Coliseum Hub was our number one location," he said. Lisa Finn reports on Patch.com that, discussing all the hours put in, Gum said he and other members of the Shinnecock Indian Nation had met with Hofstra University and Nassau Community College, as well as local community groups in the Hempstead-Uniondale area, to address their concerns and work out solutions. "We spent funds on architecture plans. It's like we're seeing our whole playbook that got into the other team's hands being played out in front of us." Gums added, "We had looked to partner with several groups, and the Sands Project would have been ideal for us as a Long Island, New York tribe. It would have made sense," Gums said, "to partner with us to move our gaming out of the Hamptons and give a real reason for the Gaming Commission to consider a proposal that included us. That would have been a political win, as well as satisfying all our billionaire neighbors who don't want gaming in the Hamptons. Now, we are being left with no choice but to continue with our gaming plans out here." So says Lance Gumbs of the Shinnecock Indian Nation. One of the most potentially consequential proposals in Governor Kathy Hochul's State of the State address last week would require the minimum wage to rise with inflation annually for hundreds of thousands of workers to, quote, tackle the affordability crisis head on. Michael Gormley reports on Newsday.com that supporters argue her proposal to index the minimum wage to inflation would not only serve fairness and social justice, but boost the economy by putting more cash into the hands of consumers and help more New Yorkers to leave social services. But big unknowns remain. Among them are whether the proposal will cost some low-wage workers their jobs because employers, particularly small businesses, can't afford the cost of frequent increases. Another is whether the proposal will fuel more inflation, exacerbating the economic pain of the working poor as well as employers. The proposal soon will go to the New York State Legislature, where progressive lawmakers are pushing an even more generous measure sponsored by Senator Jessica Ramos, a Democrat from Jackson Heights. Hochul's proposal would increase the minimum wage of $15 per hour on Long Island, New York City, and Westchester, which was phased in under a 2016 law, by tying it to annual inflation increases. The wage would never drop in times of deflation. The current upstate minimum wage is $14.20 an hour. The annual increase, however, would be capped at a figure Hochul has not yet released. Most of those details are expected to become clearer when Hochul releases her budget proposal to the state legislature later this month. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.